Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Can you kindly lift your hands to Jesus? Wherever you are standing, just lift your hands to Jesus. And if it's possible, just kindly close your eyes in all humility. Paul said, I wish above all things that men lift up their hands everywhere without reasoning or without doubting. As your hands are lifted, you want to just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, release your life, release your word, release your spirit. We do not stand here as men. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He has sent now prosperity. Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, if thou hadst known thine hour of visitation. Don't say God was here and I knew it not. Can you key in to the awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Saul was killing Christians and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? He calls us ministers of God, stewards of his mysteries. He calls us the glory of Christ. So today, know no man after the flesh. Just speak to Jesus and say, Jesus, whatever you want to tell me, my heart is open. My heart is open. Ikopalama iadara bashadali gebebebezozabai. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the eyes of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can you look full in his wonderful face, and all the things around you, all your troubles will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Stephen was looking to him and he says, I see the Lord standing. That picture is what denied him the pain of the stoning. So he could change his prayer and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Because he could see the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Then he says, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. My son, you have not resisted unto the shedding of blood, striving against sin. My son, despise not the chastenings of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and receiveth every son that he scourgeth. Just look at him. Look at him. Father, we thank you for tonight. We declare in Jesus' name that let my words be like the dew upon mown grass, Let our hearts be receptive to what you have come to tell us, that we will know that we are indeed thoroughly and truly furnished and prepared for every good work, even to your glory. In Jesus' precious mighty name, every Christian here, give the Lord a shout of praise. Can you shout a better hallelujah for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Now, before we sit, can we celebrate our own Reverend Michalia and his wonderful wife? You have to be a pastor to understand. Can we celebrate them again? Give God a better shout. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma, for your labor in the Lord. Can we also celebrate all the servants of God that are here? Everyone that is laboring for God, sacrificing for Jesus. Thank you, Minister Nosa. Thank you. And I want you to celebrate yourself for making it to church. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, this year's conference would mark a permanent deliverance in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I also have many things to say about Reverend Michalia, but my time will go. So I nearly retaliated. He was very kind with his words about me. But he's also very dangerous in the word and teaching. Amen. All right, so our theme for the conference is furnished and prepared. Somebody say furnished and prepared. Come and say furnished and prepared. And what we are looking at, as already we know, Colossians 2:10 is the bedrock for 360 conference. That we are already complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Who agrees that? That is true. Who agrees? You agree? Okay. Now, if you agree, then let's go to our scripture, Mark chapter 14, verse 13. Let's introduce it today. Mark 14, 13. If it's possible, can you project for us? Mark 14, verse 13. I want us all to read. I remember in the Orthodox Church, we used to stand to read the word. Then we'll shout, "Here ends the Bible reading." So please, let's not forget our roots. Let's all read together. One, two, go. Okay. Next verse, please. Next verse. Verse 15. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus has sent a disciple. They met the man. Now, there's a miracle to that story. Very powerful miracle. Because you understand from the story, especially from John chapter 4, men don't go to fetch water unless they were eunuchs. And eunuchs were in palaces. So this man holding a vase of water, there is a problem to that story. Number two, he says, you will enter the city as though men were carrying water for fun. That means they went at a particular time that made them meet that particular man, that to understand their particular sentence. Are you here? Okay. But he says, he will show you the upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. Someone say, there. Make ready for us.
The problem with this scripture is the room is already furnished and prepared. What are you making ready again? He didn't say the room is scattered. You come and prepare. He said it's already finished, furniture, and prepared. The water, because he's already fetching water, sir. That means he has already arranged the wine where the guests to sit. So what are you making ready again? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay. I want to share something very important about the finished work of Christ. The church is in a crisis trying to finish what has been finished. We are trying to complete a completed work. Tetelestai means tetelestai. The master cannot say it is finished and you say it's incomplete. So all Christian struggle is we are trying to complete a completed work. We are trying to finish a finished work. That's where the trouble is. Jesus sent his disciples and he said, I'm not sending you to go and make the place prepared. It's already prepared and finished. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 139, the verse number 14, very popular scripture we all know, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knoweth this well. God curiously wrought you. Then from verse 15 and 16, he says that he wrote your days in a book. That means there's no birthday, nor sad day, nor breaking of heart, nor divorce that was not already written. There is nothing you can do to surprise God. Isaiah 43:19 is new to man. It's not new to God. Because Acts chapter 15, the verse number 18, known unto God are all his works before the world began. God is not surprised at what you are surprised at. He already knows. The new thing is on your side. It's not on his side. If you understand what perspective looks like, you enter an aeroplane, it gives you a bit. Because in the air, we are going beyond the speed of any vehicle on earth. 874 kilometers per hour. Yet we seem slow. That is why when you operate from eternity, waiting is natural. Because you are not moving on the earth. You are in the sky. Ha. When you move in a certain realm, you seem to be pacing slowly, but you are faster than those running on the earth. So he said, you will mount up with wings whilst men are running to be tired. So child of God, I'm starting to tell you this. Once you come to Christ, your movement will look slow, but you are actually faster. You are way faster. You are way faster. Perspective. And perspective, sir, when I stand at this corner and you tell me you are coming from the next turn, I have to see your car before I believe you. But if I stand on a 10-story building, I can see you before you took the 10. If I stand on a 34-story building, I can see you coming from your house. That means God that sits in heaven, that sees the whole earth like a ball. He saw the day you were born and he sees the day you will die. That is why he is called the eternal. Your past, your present, and your future are all happening at the same time. At the same time. That is why when you enter the spirit, God can enter your past by prophecy and use words to correct it. That the way you were raised, this is not God's plan. We destroy the agenda of darkness. Then we orchestrate new opportunities and lift what you lost in the past and we bring it to the future. Then we declare restoration. So I want to encourage you that in this kingdom we are in, God is not trying to work. He has finished the work. Because Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 said, now declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall do all my pleasure. The reason is because man moves by linear time. We move from point A and we end at point B. But God is the Alpha and Omega. If he's Alpha and Omega, it means Omega and Alpha meet at the same spot. So the reason he's able to tell your end before it starts is because when it was ending, he saw it. And where it ended is where it also starts, in the spirit. So eternity is a circle, not a straight line. If it's a straight line, you need to get here to get there. But in eternity, you go like this. That is why some of the things you don't realize as a child of God is, you think you lost an opportunity, but it's a cycle. There's a season for it to repeat itself. You will find it again. You will find it again. You will find your joy again. You will find those children again. You will find your ministry again. It is never lost because it's a cycle. Tell your neighbor, it's a cycle. Praise the Lord. 360 degrees. 360. I want you to say yourself, the opportunities are coming back. The glory is coming back. The wealth is coming back. The anointing is coming back. The favor is coming back. The blessing is coming back. The joy is coming back. It's never lost. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. So what I want to bring your mind to is this. There is a work God has finished. In fact, if you understand how scripture goes, in Acts 17 verse 26, he says, he has made of all men under all nations one blood, and he has determined their places of dwelling and their bounds of habitation. That means that you think you were born to your parents by mistake. God arranged it before you were born. God designed you to be Nigerian. He designed you to be in Gombe. He has already determined your bounds of habitation. That is why of all things that fight the will of God, it is not just being sent. Places are important to the will of God. Because you can enter a location and become a deacon, but God has designed you to be a principality in another place. He has determined it already. He has determined it. So never you pray, say, why didn't God make me an American? Why didn't God make me get born in UK? Listen, he has already determined. Your parents are the reason you are the way you are. Even if they were bad. Kai. I wish you can get this. Because Joseph's brothers were bad, sir. But he says, God, use your anger to set me up. You see, brothers thought they were using their emotions to kill their brother. But Psalm 105 says, God sent a famine. And before he sent the famine, he used the anger of men to actually send Joseph ahead. So you think your boss hates you. You think your mother was abusive. I came to announce to you, God sent something ahead of you. He needed that environment to trigger certain things in you. So if you find yourself in Gombe, something is triggering all that God has designed for the fulfillment of your destiny in your life. Never you sit saying, I wish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, having said all I've said, what then is the posture of the finished work? What then is the understanding of the finished work? Because the reason why we don't walk in the finished work is because we don't know what the finished work requires of us. Now, God didn't need us to help him. If you want to see how God works, go and check the Bible. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord, after the fourth day, the Lord now begins to create, the Bible says, the fishes of the oceans. And he speaks to the waters, and the waters began to bring after its kind. Verse 22 says, great whales and great fishes of all sorts. Then verse 23 says, and there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Then in chapter 1, verse 24, the Lord now spoke to the earth and said, let the earth bring forth every living creature, every beast, every cattle, every creeping thing after its own kind. Then you realize that it happened. Then it got to verse 26. Everything God created, he spoke to the environment the creatures will live in. Now, time will fail me to get into this one, but you will notice something interesting, sir. In Numbers, when they asked for meat, God took wind to the ocean to bring birds. He didn't go for trees. He went to the ocean. Because when he was creating, he spoke to the waters and the waters spoke to the air. They are connected. Remember when he was separating the waters on the ground, ocean, and the waters of the sky, cloud. So when he was making the waters, he was also commanding the fowls of the sky. But I'm just trying to bring your mind to something. Every realm a creature was to live was where he commanded to bring forth. Now he gets to man. He does not speak to the air. He does not speak to the ocean. He does not speak to the earth. He speaks to the Godhead. Let us. Remember, let the earth bring forth. Let the waters bring forth. But when he came to man, he said, let the Godhead bring forth man after his own kind. So the man's environment is God. Man's habitat is God. Your depression is not Prozac that will solve it. Your depression is not a tablet away. It's not Valium. Your depression is connecting back to the God of your life. Because if God is not in the picture, no amount of tablets will deliver you from that depression. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and he started losing his mind. So some of our mental cases is absence of Holy Ghost presence. But this is the secret. When he now makes man, I thought in our minds, and I like that song, because strangely enough, before you sang the song, the Holy Ghost told me to read Revelation 4 verse 11, and you started singing that song. He said, oh, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4 verse 11. So, God created man. But Rev, I noticed that when God was creating man, he didn't create a counter assistant. Because if God was looking for an assistant, he would have made man on the first day. So that when he speaks to waters, Adam will carry water and go and pour it. When he speaks to earth, Adam will go and dig the ground. God finished everything and brought Adam. So even your creation, you came to meet finished works. You were not created to work. You were created to come and enjoy finished works. I'll show you the greatest problem God has with man. It's not a major problem. It's a very serious problem. Because that problem, tomorrow we'll get into that. But that problem is found in the story between two churches Paul wrote to. The Corinthian church and the Galatian church. Now, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, they were practicing something called temple prostitution. Because Corinth was built in BC 48 by Julius Caesar as a vacation city. The way Las Vegas is today, Corinth was in their time. So there is an old English translation that says, you have been Corinthianized. That means all the vices of the earth, you have practiced it. Now, there were people in church, sir. But Paul decided to enter this hideous city and plant a church. All the problems of Corinth was actually the problems of the environment. In Corinth were amphitheaters for sports. So they brought competition to church. One prophesied, the other two said, hey, me too, God has spoken. And they were competing amongst them. They said, let one prophesy, let the two judge. Let everything be done in order and unto edification. They were always in division. The Corinthian church, because of the systems of the Roman government, they were sending each other to court. I mean, the hellish environment they stood in. Someone slept with his father's wife and was boasting. And he said, ye should have mourned, yet ye are boasting. Problems after problems, sir. But this was the reason. Where they found themselves, so much evil, so much wickedness, and Paul has planted a church there. So from time to time, these people ran away from church and enter the temple where the virgins were and had sex with the virgins. So he comes to say, he that is joined to an harlot is one flesh. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? All Paul's solution to the Corinthian problem was not rebuke. It was reminding them of identity. He said, know ye not you will judge angels? Why do you take each other to court? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, honor God both with your body and your spirit, and serve the Lord. But there was another church called Galatians. When he came to Galatians, Paul was merciless. He started every book he writes, I, Paul, an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, write unto you that I am Corinth, according to the will of God and my brother Sosthenes. Then he starts speaking. Greet this person, greet this person. Then he's, oh, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayer. Since the day I heard of your faith, I've been so glad. He never said any complimenting word to the church of Galatia. He starts in Galatians chapter 1. And as soon as he says, he proves his apostleship, goes to verse 6. He said, I'm surprised you are so removed from the gospel you have believed. How could you? He said, oh, then he comes to chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. He didn't call the Corinthians foolish. No, so Paul was showing us God's heart. That God would rather prefer you dealing with vices of your flesh than mixing your effort with his grace. So when he came to Galatians, they were mixing what they can do. So Jesus, he said to them, that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life I now live, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, says that I do not frustrate the grace of God. It means that you people, the way you keep believing that, he said, oh, Paul spoke. He said, if you, by your works, can be justified, then there was no need Jesus died. He said, then Christ has died in vain. And he said, it's a serious matter to God. You have insulted the sacrifice. You have insulted the purity of his blood. That you, in your fallen state, have better means to reach God than God's method. Hey. Malashati Baba. Yes, yes. Listen. So what I'm talking to you about today is a very serious matter. Very, very serious matter. Do you know God even lammed up this action? The Bible says, oh, it is expedient for me to go in John 16, verse 7. Because when I go, the Father can send the Comforter. If I'm here, he can't, but it's beneficial that I go, that the Father shall send the Comforter. And when this Comforter shall come, in verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 now says, of sin because they did not believe in Jesus. So he has summed up fornication, adultery, murder into one sin. The sin of not believing in Jesus. That's all. So the world sin to God is that they've not believed in Jesus. Because, hey, don't do like you are holy. Shana, you've received Jesus, you are still lying. Have you not lied since you received Jesus Christ? Revelation said that liars will be in hell. Oh. That means that's how you are going to hell, as you are lying every day. Car. Please, are you ready for what I'm about to say? Are you sure? I want you to understand this to help you. Very, very much to help you. So when God now made man, come back to the start, I'll come back again. When God now made man, in Genesis chapter 2, the verse number 3, the Lord God rested on the seventh day. He blessed that day. He sanctified it. Bible says he called it holy. He rested from his works, not because he was tired, but because he was satisfied. God didn't rest from tiredness. He rested from satisfaction. So I came to announce to you, rest is not sleeping. You can actually be sleeping and you are still in works. Because you are sleeping because you are breaking from your works to take a rest. So that sleep is still works. That's why you are not receiving sleep. You are still roaming in your sleep. I'm showing a secret today. There's a principle God has designed for us in the finished work. And I want to just bring our minds to it like a teaser to start for tonight. Adam is called to walk in rest, sir. That's all. And in that rest, there's a way God deals with man. God comes to Adam and looks at Adam and says, it's not good that you are alone. So Adam looking for a wife was a suggestion from God. He comes to Adam and says, Adam, let me bring you all the animals to see what name you will call it. So Adam was not looking for work to name things. God brought it to let him name. I'm going to show you something today. Because Jethro suggested to Moses, get 70 elders. And of all the times Moses complained, it was when he got these 70. He said, what kind of stress is this? After he has chosen the 70, he starts complaining to God bitterly. God says, okay, I hear you. He said, but who asked you to get the 70? He said, oh, my father-in-law was giving me a human advice. He said, no problem. Go and bring that same 70 and appear before me. So now Moses goes for the same 70. So, sir, the father-in-law's advice was not bad, but Moses didn't hear the counsel. If the Lord says so, Jethro added the caveat. He didn't say this is law. He said, if it pleases you and the Lord permits, look for 70 to help you. So Moses was supposed to vet that decision with the Holy Ghost. Because in the realm of the spirit, you can choose 70. But God knows an engineering where he lifts his spirit and puts the same degree of intelligence and might on the 70. So you might choose somebody who is right. But if you choose him outside God speaking, the spirit to make them right is lost. Wave your hands to Jesus. Okay. In Isaiah 30 verse 15, please put that for me. Isaiah 30 15, quickly. The Lord was speaking. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, yet ye would not. Now the word returning and rest, he was talking of a disposition. He was talking of a state of resting. Because at this time, you will notice from Isaiah 30, Israel had begun to rely on Egypt. He said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for strength. So they were going back to Egypt, where they had come from. Israel's problem was that they didn't know the meaning of Egypt. Egypt in the Hebrew is the word Mizraim. Mizraim is double stress. Double stress. That's the meaning of Egypt. Stress to the power two. And they kept saying they want to go down to Egypt. And God says, return. Return from that decision. Your problem is not that God doesn't want to use a man. By all means, God's method is men. But you can't choose the man God should use. You must choose God for him to choose the man you use. So the problem is not what we think is right. The problem is how we are going about it. Hey. So he says, in returning, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. Now he uses the term Holy One. And other times he said the Almighty. But when God uses the suffix Holy One, the word holy means uncommon. Please, holy, the opposite of holy is not sin. According to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become not the holiness of God, but the righteousness of God. So the opposite of sin is righteousness. But the opposite of holy is common. So this thing is called holy. We call it pulpit. When we use it to make lectures, we call it lectern. Same design. So the moment it comes to God, it's now holy. It means it's uncommon. So he says that, thus saith the Lord God, thus saith Adonai Elohim, the uncommon one, the Kadosh of Israel. The Kadosh of Israel. This man, the Holy One, is saying this. It is common for men to walk in restlessness. He's trying to tell you that the reason he blessed the Sabbath and called it holy is that anyone who walks in rest is walking in holiness. I'll explain. Can I explain? I'll explain. 40 years long, I grieved with this generation. Psalm 95 verse 10. He said, I grieved with this generation, but they erred in their heart. And the Bible says, when they erred in their heart, they did another thing. When they erred in their heart, they did not know my ways. So unto them I swore in my wrath that they will not enter into my rest. They will not enter into my rest. Now hear this. They entered the promised land, but they didn't get the promise of the land. Okay. So they could not enter the rest. The reason they could not enter the rest was because they didn't understand the engineering of the rest. Now in the rest, sir, in Egypt, in Numbers 11, 4, 5, 6, the mixed multitude began to complain. We remember the garlic. We remember the cucumber. Remember the leek. Go to verse 5. Remember the leek. Remember the melon. If you look at all these things, these are plants that are on the ground. The melon grows and you see it on top of the soil. The leek is like a long version of aubergine or garden egg, long one like that. Then you have the garlic. Of course, we know where garlic comes from, the soil. Onion, the same thing. So those plants in Egypt, they had to bend and dig before they remove it. But the Lord said, I'm taking you to a land. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the verse number 8. In that land, there is wheat. In that land, there is barley. Now, barley and wheat are shrubs. They grow to this side. So you stand to pluck. You don't bend. There are fig trees. You stand to pluck. There are pomegranates. There are trees. You stand to pluck. So in Egypt, you break your back to eat. But in the promised land, you stand relaxed and pluck what you want to eat. The rest. Even what you eat and how you eat shows whether you are in rest or stress. Listen, when Yahweh said he made Adam for his rest, Adam entered and met finished works. There was nothing Adam was going to do to add to what God has done. Make it ready was what God said to Adam. Keep the garden and dress it. Keep the garden and dress it. That's why I said in Genesis 2:15, keep the garden and dress it. But what I want your mind to come to is this. When he said they will not enter the rest, he was taking them to a place, a land that shall flow with milk and honey, sir. And that land, can we go there in the scriptures? Deuteronomy, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to show you how the promised land looked like. Deuteronomy 6, the verse 10. The Lord was taking them to the promised land. Oh, the land he swore unto his on their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them great and goodly cities. Number one, that they did not build. Number two, they will enter houses full of good things. They didn't fill it. Number three, they will drink from wells they did not dig. Number four, they will eat vineyards and olive trees they did not plant. What he was trying to say was this. Where I'm bringing you to, you will not lay a brick. You will enter a finished house. Where I'm bringing you to, you will not plant a seed, but you will eat from the vine. Look, in the finished works, God is not asking your participation. He is asking your enjoyment. And he was talking like this all this while. But Israel said, we don't like. We want to do something. Man's problem is his effort. They always want to do something. And the Lord said, what you want to do, I've done. Let me ask you, Osha. Can I ask you a question? Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Is it your prayer that made Satan leave someone's body? Is it because you are very anointed? He said, come out! Come out! Shana, you yourself said, in the name of Jesus. That means even the out that the demon went was not how you said out. It's the Jesus. I'm showing you a secret today, so that from today the devil will not massage you out of your inheritance. In the name of Jesus. The Latin actually says, we cannot insult his work. His work is so perfect, it transcends time. The way Jesus did the work, we'll get into that tomorrow. But you will see that the way Jesus did his work, sir, it transcends time. And that time, your work he did. The work was so perfect. Hebrews 9:23 says, the blood was needed to purge things that are in heaven. And do you know what was purging? Once in Hebrews 9, once upon a time, Lucifer stood in a dock after he stole the mandate of man. That title of man was called the God of the world. Lucifer was not created the God of the world. He was created an anointed cherub. But 2 Corinthians 4:4, when he says the God of this world, that was Adam's original title. Because the Bible says in Psalm 82 verse 1, the Lord God mighty stands in the congregation of the mighty. The word mighty there in the Greek, in the Hebrew, sorry, is the word El. So God stands in the congregation of gods. Now, this scripture is not abomination. Jesus came to re-echo it in John 10:34. Is it not written in your law that ye are gods? Then he says in verse 35, that the word of God may come to pass. That the word of God may come to pass. John chapter 10. verse 35. He said that the word of God may come to pass. He says that ye are gods unto whom the word of the Lord has come to. The scripture cannot be broken. Our problem is that when this thing is taught, we think we are gods towards each other. But the first use of a man becoming a god was in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. He said to Moses, see, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. So when the Bible says you are gods to Satan, you are gods to demons, you are god to satanic oppression, you are god to demonic entities that have possessed men. But when we meet each other, we are brothers. When we see the Lord, we are lambs. Our godhood is the world. These are men that turn cities upside down. And they said the gods are in our midst. Can we get 3 John Knox in Gombe so that the governor will say, I fear nothing than the prayer of that young man? He said, he said, give me Scotland or I die. That means men were able to control the sphere because they understood they are the god of the location. People of God, he's asking you to enter rest. So what then is rest? Number one, rest is walking in the finished works. Rest, anytime you say somebody's in rest, he's not sleeping. Rest means you are walking in the revelation of the finished works. Number two, rest is Holy Ghost inspired activities. So when Holy Ghost tells you to sleep or tells you to wake up at 5 a.m. to pray, it's no longer works, it's rest. How do I know that? Isaiah 28 says, verse 10 and 11, with stammering lips they shall speak, and they shall speak unto rest. That means that, sir, when the Holy Ghost tells me, and then wake up at 5 a.m., and I oblige and wake up at 5, that prayer at 5 is rest. If I decide to sleep, and I want to wake up at 7, though it's the same prayer, this is works. I'm showing you how to appropriate the finished works and how God's posture in your life wants to be. So he said in John 15 verse 4, abide in me. If ye abide in me and I abide in you, what will happen? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Child of God, he is asking you to abide, not to visit. He is asking you to abide, not to encounter in a service. That means after this service, you are still in that same zone while you go home. You are still in that same environment while you lie on your bed. You are abiding. You are what? Abiding. And that abiding was a picture Jesus was trying to bring to us when it came to the matter of works and rest. In John chapter 5, the verse number 19, the Son of Man, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can of his own self do nothing. That which he sees the Father do, that's what he does. But do you know what he said? Then answered. That means 18 was telling us the story. The Jews came to him angry, about to kill him. Why? For he had broken the Sabbath. Not only that, but he makes himself equal with God. The Greek is very interesting. The word he has broken the Sabbath. In the Greek tense, John 5:18, there is a tense in English called perfect and imperfect. The Greek tense here is imperfect tense. It means that Jesus was constantly breaking the Sabbath. Every healing happened on the Sabbath. You know why? Jehovah Rapha. The Hebrew word Rapha means relax and let go. So you don't get healed stressed. You don't get healed tensed. You don't get healed thinking about your sickness. That's why many times in services, your healing happens before you go like, I can't feel it all. You were relaxed, so you were able to let go. Rest. Rest. Rest, rest, rest. Is somebody here? It's because of rest you'll be able to walk in grace. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, and Noah found grace before God. The word Noah in the Hebrew is the word rest. It's the word rest. So in the Hebrew, the tense reads this way, but rest found grace. Grace is not working because you are in works. It's time to rest. In fact, when the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 4 that ye are falling from grace, he was not saying you have backslidden. He was saying that anybody who feels that they can be justified by their effort has fallen from grace. You are not heard because you fasted. In the finished work, you will know where fasting comes in. You are not heard because you prayed. Because Isaiah told us there's a group of people, chapter 65, that before they even called on me, I will answer them. You yourself and I know there are some prayers you didn't pray, yet you got miracle. So which one was that? There's a realm like that. It's called finished works. It's called finished works. One day I was reading the Bible, sir, and the Lord showed me something interesting. When Cornelius was in telling Peter in Acts chapter 10 that I was fasting and praying on that day, I went to check Acts chapter 10 again. The angel didn't mention fasting. He said, thy prayers and thy alms, not thy fasting. In the Old Testament, your fasting moves God. In the New Testament, the fasting moves you. In the Old, they fast so God can hear them. In the New, we fast so we can hear God. Two different fasting. You have to understand. If you don't understand, the works were not finished then. So they had to cry, cut themselves. Oh God, remember us. But in the New, he doesn't remember. Listen. Oh, I remember I was telling someone something. I'm going to say something that will break a table. And I'm so glad that Pastor said it, that I will leave. But unfortunately, I'm coming next year, because even if I say it, I'll meet you next year. Pastor said it. You said it. I've confirmed. Jesus. Now, this is the idea. We quote Hezekiah a lot of times in our prayer times. When I was praying, God said, you better stop that. That's not finished work prayer. I said, why? Hezekiah said, Lord, remember my offering. Remember my sacrifices. And the Lord added 15 years. And we prayed. No problem. But in the New Testament, it's not correct. In the New Testament, we don't say, Lord, remember my offering. We don't say, Lord, remember my sacrifice. We say, Lord, remember Jesus' offering. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Because if God is going to follow what you did, in the Old, there was no sacrifice from Christ. So there was no comparison. In the New, if you go towards what you have done, that means God is saying, let's put Jesus' own by the side. If yours it can outdo Jesus, then we'll answer you. So in the New, you don't use your works to boast. You use his works to boast. That Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you took my place. Jesus, you are the perfect offering. Everything I'm doing in prayer and fasting is a response. It's a response. It's a response. It's a response. He said, why are your disciples not fasting? He said, in the day they'll be taken away, I'll be taken away. In those days shall they fast. So New Testament, we fast to recalibrate our intimacy and connection to God. Because whatever I come to pray for, it's already done. It's time to work in the finished work. Tomorrow I'll show you what the work did for us. It's a work you cannot do. Do you know what he did? There's something called the traffic of the Lord. He condescended from Zion, the darling of the heavens. When he condescended, he didn't just come to the earth. He entered the womb of a woman. Do you know the travesty to that statement? That's the reason why Islam is struggling with the fact that Jesus is God. Because how can God be born? Meanwhile, to that God before he was born was called El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one and the only wombed one. The one who has the womb entered the womb. The one who had many breasts was suckling on a breast. And sir, it was so permanent because of the extent of love. He didn't assume the new posture. He rather added glory to humanity. He carried the humanity he became and ascended with it to receive the highest of all, so that a generation like us will show up. And after all this, you think you can die again? You think you can suffer again? You think your prayer can work? The Bible said, the last time I checked, in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse number 19, he said, therefore we have boldness to enter the holiest of all, not by my fasting, not by my prayer, not by my good deeds, but by the blood of Jesus. By the blood. I want to show you a secret. After this camp, you will position prayer, you will position fasting in accordance to the finished work. Because there is Christian consecration in connection to the finished work. Even Jesus said it, that once he goes to heaven, we must fast. So finished work does not mean you don't fast, but there's what you are fasting for. That's what you are fasting for. Because I noticed the problem in the West African churches, we think our families are kept by our prayers.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the Lord told me one day, he says that I'm the one who doesn't sleep or slumber. You, the day you want, even your sister can be in the hospital, your wife can be in labor, but all of a sudden you just, in spite of the stress, you still fall asleep. So if you are going to put your family security on your prayer, people will die. It is the one who never sleeps up. Oh my God. Somebody just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, into your hand I commit my family. Into your, you can watch them well. You can take care of them well. My worry will do nothing. My fears will do nothing. Because when he said it is finished, everything concerning your life was covered. It's covered. So now when I pray, I don't pray, we protect them. No. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I'm not saying don't pray. But you are saying, Father, they are your hands. I see a mother here. You are thinking about your children. That's the reason why you're not seeing blessing in their life. Any area you worry, grace does not flow to. Check the areas you are failing. It is the area you worry a lot. You worry about your children, grace will not find it. You worry about your finances, grace will not. Any area that you worry about, grace is blocked from flowing. Why? Galatians chapter 5, the verse number 4. Oh, look what he says. Galatians 5, 4. Come on, go there. Let me show you something. Hey, ka. Are we there? Galatians 5. He said, because Christ is become of no effect unto you. So he's saying that if you decide to use your effort, the way you are thinking, the plans you are making, the word Christ is of no effect to you, actually, the term speaks of, there is electricity in this room, right? Now, I can touch certain things and the power will not get to me. There's insulation. You insulate yourself from the power of Christ. Why don't you kneel down and say, Lord, this boy is stubborn. This, my son, doesn't listen. What do I do? And the Lord will tell you, start praising. Praising care. He said, praise. When you see him smoking, don't accuse him. Just praise. Lord, he's smoking, go. He said, just praise. And he said, Lord, I hear you. So you see your son smoking. Then you start dancing to the Lord. You start giving praise. And your son say, ah, ma, you won't talk. He said, no. I cannot insulate God's power from reaching you. I can't. Finish work. No, God told me, sir, the reason you declared what you declared, he said, after this conference,
yes, sir,
all your efforts that have intercepted God's work, let me show you, God is strongest in the area you are weakest and have given up.
Hey.
The area you say, Lord, I'm tired though. There's nothing I can do. He said, in your weakness, then my strength. So the area you are strong, you don't see God's strength. You know how to talk, so God has not assisted you to preach. But when you are coming to preach, you say, Lord, you know these lips can make mistakes. The English will not be right. Holy Ghost, take over. Oh, I yield my abilities. That's when now the strength of God. So sometimes when you see men of God, and you think we are anointed, actually most of our anointed areas is our weak areas. The areas we are weak in is where God's power shows up more. It's time to rest too. Do you know how you rest? He said, let us therefore, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 10. He said, let us therefore, oh, anyone who has entered into his rest, Hebrews 4 verse 10, has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Then he says in the next verse 11, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, that we will not fall after the example, and he's talking of Israel in the desert, of unbelief. So now he says, let us labor. Do you know how you labor? The next verse. For. He doesn't start a sentence for on hanging. It means it's connected to how you labor. So child of God, you are like, prophet, how do I rest? Is it that you go and sit there and do nothing? No. Take the Bible. Begin to dig. Begin to find scriptures that address the issue. Address your healing problem from the Bible. Address your talkative problem from the Bible. Address your anger issues. That is how you labor to enter rest. You labor. Press in. Let us labor. For the word is quick and active. Labor. Listen, I wish you can understand how God deals with rest. Do you know there is no people Israel fought that God made a profound declaration. We shall wipe out the memory of the Amalekites from the face of the earth, and it shall be rehearsed in the generations to come. He said it to Moses in Exodus 17, said it to Joshua again. You know why? Israel had left the desert. We're about to enter the promised land, and they went somewhere called Rephidim. Rephidim is a rendition of Raphadim. Okay, cherubim is plural of cherub. So Rephidim means resting places. So when Israel was entering their resting places, Amalek said, we will not allow them to rest. And God said, I will deal with these people. That means that, ladies and gentlemen, God is serious about your rest. Do you know why Israel went into captivity in the book of Jeremiah? They did not keep the Sabbath. That's all. And in the law of Moses, you must keep the Sabbath every year. After 6 years, in the seventh year, don't touch the earth. You leave the earth to keep by itself. In fact, it was so serious that, oh my God, Leviticus 25 tells us in verse 21, he said, I will command the blessing to come upon the sixth year. And when it comes upon the sixth year, ye shall reap fruit and eat the fruit of the land for another 3 years. So God said, don't touch the land after 6 years. In the seventh year, I will command a blessing to find you. You will eat in the seventh, you will eat in the eighth, even in the ninth. So the next verse, 22 says, and you will sow in the eighth year. However, in the ninth year, you will not eat the new fruit. You will eat the fruit from the 6 year break. That's how serious it is. So God said, if you go break by Sabbath, you get three times more. When you go to America, there's a food joint. It battles with Popeyes, Papa John's, KFC. It's called Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a Christian company. They don't open on Sundays. And Sunday is where families come and eat, sir. But they don't open on Sunday because today is the Sabbath. Do you know, at the end of the year, for almost 5 years consistently, KFC and the rest were second and third. If Chick-fil-A receives $10 billion annual revenue, KFC is at $3 billion. They don't meet, they don't open on Sunday, but they have three times more revenue than the people who open seven times a week. You have no idea what the rest is. And when Israel didn't obey the rest, God said, you didn't obey the rest, I will show you something. We quote a scripture nicely in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts I have for you, the thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. But it was a consolation to what he was telling them in verse 10. Jeremiah 29:10, he says, if a prophet prophesies to you, let me tell you, for 70 years, you will be in captivity. Because I told you to keep Sabbath. Every year, you didn't. So let's let the land of... So Israel actually entered 70 years rest. The land was not touched for 70 years, for all the Sabbath they had broken. Even physically, if God tells you to rest and you don't rest and you fall sick, it's the breaking of rest. Some of your sicknesses are not sicknesses Satan brought. You violated the law of rest. Even in agriculture, there's something called land tenure system. You reap so that the land can rest and gather nutrients again. How much more spiritually? So I'm showing someone today, he's not going to tell you to enter a land, you will build a house. He said the house you are entering, there's already a finished house. Should I tell you a secret? You have been declaring that God should give you money to build house. Wrong prayer. I repeat. That means that as long as if it takes you 10 years to get that money to build a house, why don't you pray this prayer? Lord, because of your finished work, I own houses. Shana is the same God who gave you money to build it. Is this the same God who can tell somebody, come and give me the house for free? You will drink from wells you did not dig. Somebody's come to call you from America and say, I want to send you $1,000 of my salary every month. And you are doing nothing. The finished work is a serious work. So check the Bible, sir. When he gave the parable of the feast in Matthew 22, he said the master finished the feast and invited. It's only Christianity that we switch that story. He didn't call you to come and do things. He called you to come and receive things. That's right. Because even the love you want to love, he said in 1 John 4:19, we love not because we can, because somebody poured it. God loved you first. How did he love you first? Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed. The love of God is poured. So if you are struggling to love somebody, go back to the Lord and collect love, because you will never find it in yourself. Love is not an action, it's a reaction. If it's not poured from God, you will never find it for another. Because the love from God, sir, can love enemies. While we were yet enemies, God commended his love. So the love that God gives you, it can love enemy. Because you yourself, you were once enemy, and God loved you. He loved you with that love, and when you came to him, he poured that same love inside you, so you can love enemy. So I was a prophet. So what do I do to my enemies? You immobilize. Because if Stephen was cursing Paul, we'll lose 2/3 of the Bible. I know you have some people you hate, but you are no different from David. Look at David's prayer, sir. He was convincing God to hate the people he hates. That's how David was praying. He said, let their children be fatherless. And God was in heaven saying, bah. If that's how Uriah's family prayed, do you think you'll be standing here? No, the hurt to Uriah's family was dangerous. Ahithophel was the grand uncle of Bathsheba. He became the counselor of David. He was setting a trap. It was so painful, they had to attach to David to finish him. And you are here praying, let their children be fatherless. Let their prayer be sin. And God is here saying, no. If that's how I answer prayer, all of you die. Yeah, because, he deserves it. You too, you deserve it. That's why I say, he that liveth by the sword shall die by it. I beg you, my sister, the guy broke your heart. He will marry you. He will give birth. He will go to America. Your curses will not work. You better move on. That you are waiting in anticipation. Instead of you to expect the coming of the Lord, you are expecting the destruction of that guy. It won't happen. God has forgiven him. You better move on. Use your love. Tell your neighbor, finish work. Have the posture of rest. That means that if you have anything to say about something, be like Jesus. I will not do what God is not doing. How will I know what God is doing? I labor to enter rest from what he is saying. So when I go to the word, this is what God is saying. He said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That means my ability to hold myself from temptation is the will of God. Somebody saying, God doesn't talk to me. He has been talking since. Open your Bible. Because the last time I checked, sir, all scripture is God breathed. Do you know what the Greek says? It's theopneustos, the breath, out breath of God. It means that anytime you open the pages of the Bible, what happened to Adam for him to become a living soul happens to you when you open the pages. You get the breath of God again. Who has been there before? You were down. After 2 Psalms, you were becoming alive. After 3 verses, something was shifting inside you. That's what the word of God does. It's finished. He has invited you. That's why Jesus didn't die with his disciples. He died alone. He told Peter, this one, I will do it alone. Because it must be finished work for me. If I die with you, you can't go to Hades. I can do it alone. Look, he didn't just die. Tomorrow, touch on it. He didn't die interstate. He died testator. Rose up mediator. And became surety. Do you know what that means? It means that the one who died didn't leave us hanging. He made sure that he came back from the death. So that from that death tomb he came out of, he can now show you what he actually died for in the will we call the New Testament. Now, not only so, in that New Testament, Bible says God has made him a surety. So that in case something is going wrong, the same way when you go and take a loan, you put your business manager, your cousin, a reverend, someone of repute in society as a guarantor. Jesus is the guarantor for any violation a Christian. So if God wants to rebuke us, he rebukes him. Because you forgot. As scripture said in Romans 3:21, that the righteousness of God without the law was revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What he's trying to tell you was this: all along in the Old Testament, God was telling a story, but they could not receive it. Do you know why? According to the Bible, in Exodus 33 verse 7, God didn't create the tabernacle for burnt offerings and sacrifices. He said Moses took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone, not who sinned, everyone, not who had sacrificed, everyone who was looking for God will come there. So the issue of the sacrifices was because of their violations. But the real idea was, I want to spend time with my people. But they could not see it. Do you know the shocking thing, sir? In Genesis 29, the verse 32, 33, 34, when Leah gave birth to Levi, he named him, "Surely I shall be joined to my husband. I shall be joined to my husband." And when she named him, "I shall be joined to my husband," the name Levi means to be joined. Then in Leviticus 1 verse 2, he says, "And you shall bring offerings to the Lord." The word offering, Matthew chapter 7, the verse 11 describes it. Matthew 7, 11 says that when you have a gift and you say you will not give it to your parents because it is korban. The Hebrew word for gift is the word korban, korban. Korban in the Hebrew means to bring close or to join near. Now the priests are called the joiners. What they are offering is to make you close. So God was saying from the priesthood and from the sacrifices, I want to be close to you. That is why I said burnt offerings and sacrifice of sins, that is not my idea. I've never looked for blood because I own the cattle on 1,000 mountains. No amount of God can satisfy my heart. I just created means by which we can be close. Look, the finished work is a serious business. Adam had fallen short of the glory of God. Now, if you want to know the tree they ate, this prophetic interpretation is not, it's not hermeneutics, neither is it exegesis, but it's prophetic interpretation. In the garden, they didn't tell us which tree. The only time the tree was mentioned was the leaves of the tree. They didn't tell us which tree they ate. But from the story, they took the leaves of the tree they had eaten to cover themselves. And Bible said they covered themselves with fig trees. That's why when Jesus met that fig tree, he cursed it. And he didn't curse that tree alone, because the statement he made was not for one tree. He said, "No one shall eat of thy fruit in the generations to come." But fig trees still exist today. So he was not cursing that particular tree, nor ficus sycamoris, the specific tree. He was cursing the spirit of the fig. That no man shall... So he was addressing what happened in the garden. "No man shall eat of thy fruit anymore." Because Adam ate of the fruit of the fig and covered himself with the leaves. And sir, God, who was angry in Genesis 3:21, removed the leaves. Said, "This one can dry, oh. This one can dry, oh. Every week you have to sow new ones. It can dry." God removed the leaves. God, who was angry. Oh, Genesis 3, verse 21. Made coats. Sir, I've always tried to imagine that movie. God was looking for one goat like that and put knife in him. "You, Adam. Shebi, I told you not to eat the fruit, and you ate it." Then he held the vig. "Come on, get it off. Drink the blood. Dry the animal coat." And said, "Come, stand here. Put the coat on Adam." That's how God was angry. I don't know how you read Genesis, but God didn't hide from Adam. Adam was the one who hid from God.
Yes, sir.
Read it again. It was God who has been looking for man since. And tomorrow I'll show you. Salvation has never been man's idea. It's God who came to look for us. In fact, it's so serious that when Paul was addressing it in Colossians 1, he said, "We were not even enemies to God, though. We were actually enemies in our own minds." Because if God is your enemy, why is he coming to talk to Noah? "Noah, build me an ark so I don't kill these people." Man was not praying. God was looking for somebody to use. I wish you can understand it. So dying on the cross, we had nothing to do with it. Your only contribution to salvation was your sin.
Yes, sir.
The only thing you contributed to your redemption is your sin. That's your contribution. When you contributed your sin, Colossians 1, 2, verse 6, he said, "As ye have received Christ Jesus your Lord, so Walk in him. So he said, in the same way you open your heart, Jesus gave you his faith to believe him. He said, that's the same way we live, not by Adam's faith, but by the faith of the Son of God. So actually what you are using to believe is the same faith Jesus used to walk on water. Because your faith is now the faith of Jesus Christ. Your, what you call faith is what Jesus gave you. So he said, in the same way you've come to Christ, use the same faith of Jesus. Now if I know the faith I'm using is what Jesus used, is that how I'll pray that God will answer me? Oh, we'll be like men like George Muller. He was going to preach somewhere and there was a fog. And the captain said, Mr. Muller, we can't go. He said, I've never missed my preaching appointment. We'll go through this fog. He said, sir, you don't understand. It's too thick for us to go. He said, Mr. Captain, can you hold my hand? And George Muller held his hand and he knelt down. And he prayed, said, Father, you asked me to come and preach here. You've never denied me. I know I have an answer. Thank you, you've answered me. In Jesus' name. He woke up and went. 5 minutes later, the captain rushed to me and said, Mr. Muller, what did you do? He said, this should have taken 3 hours to clear. 5 minutes, the coast was clear. And the ship went. Go and read about George Muller of Bristol. He had a diary. He has a book, Prayer Answering God. It was recorded that, sir, he recorded 1 million answered prayers. 1 million. And do you know what he said? He said, I often plead my case. In case God has forgotten, I open the verse and I highlight it and I tell God, God, where are you? Look, look, look. This is what you said. Let me read it to you in case you forgot. And he reads it to God. Why? God will only collect what he gives. He will not come for Ishmael because it didn't come from him. So God will only answer what he has said that you are saying back to him. It's still finished though in your prayer. Lift your hands to Jesus. Just lift your hands to Jesus. That tonight the Lord should cause you to break away from every stress, worrying, trying to make things work, pushing, struggling. And you hear many Christians say, man of God, I'm tired. God didn't ask you to get tired. He asked you to rest so that life can flow through you. Can you pray to him just now, in just 1 minute, that Lord, any area of my life, my family, my business, my finances, my ministry, I'm struggling. I'm using too many means and still nothing is showing. Likelihood you are not in rest. You are not receiving. You are trying to create and reinvent a wheel. But Jesus said, it's finished. He said, it's finished. Oh, I can't hear you. Lift your voice, please.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.